Hey lovely, welcome to the Truth and Transformation podcast. This is a podcast that is definitely not for children because it's a no BS podcast. So I will be swearing, we will be talking about all the things. So put your headphones on if you've got little ones around you. We will talk about family, we will talk about relationships, we will talk about sex, we will talk vulnerability, we will talk trauma, we will talk all the things. This is a self-love podcast so that you can start feeling damn good about you and your life. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for being here. Hello, lovelies. Welcome back. Oh, today I'm so excited. I can barely speak because I'm going to be talking about self-love and emotional empowerment and you feeling good enough. And I'm so excited. I'm going to try and talk really slow because when I'm excited, I start talking really fast. It's just, I think it's something we do when we're excited. Also, a northern thing as well, that I talk quite fast at times. But I'm super excited about this topic. I'm super passionate about this because what I always say to people is, wherever you go, you've got to take yourself. So if you don't like the person that you are, if you don't like the person that's looking back at you in the mirror, then life's just never going to feel that great because you're going to be taking yourself wherever you go. And the thing that I always say to people, it's like, if you don't like yourself, it's like dragging around a colleague you don't like wherever you go. It's never going to feel good. So self-love is the thing that really, really changes our lives. And it's huge. And it's so huge because so many of us struggle with this. So many of us struggle to just feel good enough, to just truly love ourselves. And we get taken down by our emotions. So it's just huge. And as best as my ability will allow, in about 40, 45 minutes, I want to dig into this. And I could talk about this for days and weeks and just forever. But I'm going to try and do it as best as I can in about 40, 45 minutes to just really give you some tools so that you can really tap into loving yourself, to feeling more emotionally empowered, to just knowing that you are enough, you're more than enough, you're always going to be enough. And as I say that, it's also BS. It's BS because you're not going to be enough for everybody, and that may sting a little bit. But here's the thing, you're not meant to be for everybody. You're truly not. You were born to be you and for you to love you because you're the one that's going to be taking yourself wherever you go. And this really comes down to this emotional intelligence to know that you are innately enough. You are more than enough. You weren't born the chosen one who's just not enough and everybody else is enough, but you're not. So you are innately enough, but not everyone's going to get you and not everyone's going to like you. And we can go into this like codependency, wanting everyone to like us, wanting everyone to love us, worrying what other people think, becoming, perfectionists and people pleasers and trying to, you know, always save the day and getting our worth kind of outside of us. And when we do that, we hurt ourselves. And also, it actually doesn't help other people because what it teaches them is that they need you to make them happy. And actually, they're not capable of doing it themselves. So this is huge. And when we can finally really grasp this and really start loving ourselves and really getting this like emotional intelligence around, you know, when our emotions are high and really being able to stay empowered and not getting taken down by our emotions, but loving ourselves through the emotional kind of highs and stuff. Because quite often when emotions are high, our intelligence drops, we say things we don't mean, we do things that, you know, we regret. And I'm not really big on the whole regret thing, but you know what I mean. And when we can finally get this, it's such a game changer. When you can finally get that you are enough, and I hope you already know that, but you are enough, you're more than enough, and yet it's totally okay if you're not enough for someone, and the right people are gonna just love you so, so, so much. And when you're trying to be for everyone, you really are for no one. But we're scared that, you know, we become people pleasers because we're scared we'll be on our own. And we're scared that deep down that, what if I'm really just not good enough? And it's such BS, but we believe it. We believe it because there's been times when somebody basically did something or said something. So it could be from our childhood. It might be something we don't remember. And there's probably multiple times where something happened. It hurt us, and we created this story of we're not enough. And we started kind of putting our power outside of us on what other people think of us. And we do that enough, we start believing it. So this is where emotional intelligence comes into play. So something may happen and you may like feel, you know, you may feel hurt, you may feel angry, you may feel stress, you may feel anxiety. But what happens in that is we create these stories, often unconscious, stories like, I'm not good enough. You know, somebody will make a comment and we will create a story in our mind, often not even aware of, that's because I'm not good enough. That's because nobody likes me. That's because I'll never be loved. That's because I'm ugly. That's because I'm stupid. We create all these stories and we create them again and again and again, often not conscious that we're creating these stories. And these are going on in our brain again and again and again, often unconsciously, and then we start believing them and then they become conscious. But we just think that that's true. I just am not enough. I just am ugly. I just am stupid. And then we find evidence to back that up because we compare ourselves to other people. And what you look for evidence for, you will find in abundance. So if you really believe you are not enough, you will find evidence of that. You'll find an abundance of evidence to support that you are not good enough. And you will attract people that highlight that to you. You know, you can attract kind of emotionally abusive relationships, you know, friendships that kind of make you feel not enough, that you can't be who you are. If you really believe that, you know, you are ugly or whatever, you will find evidence everywhere to confirm that. You will, you know, see it everywhere and be like, look, they're prettier than me. They've got a better body than me. You will find it everywhere. There will be no shortage of supply for that. Because what you believe, you will just keep finding, as I say, again, the evidence for that. And life will also give you examples of that. And then what we do is we go, see, it's true. Rather than go, this happened, but I don't have to make that mean anything. I don't have to make that mean anything about my worth. I don't have to confirm all these things about myself. And I can actually start loving myself because even though I may feel all these things are true, that's actually not being kind to myself. That's actually not being a friend to myself. And wherever I go, I'm going to have to take myself. So maybe I should start trying to be nice to myself, loving myself. Okay. Would I say that to a friend? Would I say you're not good enough? Would I say you're stupid? Would I say you're ugly? And, you know, I would hope you would never say that to anyone. So, okay, why do I say those things to myself? And I may say them to myself, not consciously, unconsciously, but if I can start identifying those things and start really, you know, actually getting really, like, looking at this practically, would I ever say that to a baby? Would I ever say this baby wasn't born good enough? And really realizing that nowhere in the timeline did that change. So why do I now think that I'm the chosen one who is not good enough? Just because maybe I tanked at something, that I failed at something, that I didn't quite hit it, doesn't have anything to do with my innate worthiness. It just means that it wasn't for that person, or maybe I need to build up my skills, or maybe it was just actually I didn't really believe in myself and feel the confidence in that thing, and I can work on that. Or maybe it was just steering me into something else, into a different direction. But I created all these meanings, all these attachments based on how I was feeling. So whether it was hurt, disappointed, sad, frustrated, I created all these attachments to it, like, I'm not good enough, nobody loves me, I'll be on my own. That's just the way life is. And I found evidence to back that up. And through life experiences, I kept backing that up rather than realizing I get to be a friend to myself and I get to change this pattern now. And this is something that I see a lot where the people that I work with will really just not feel enough and not feel confidence in themselves. And that's because if we practice again and again and again of not even realizing these thoughts are going round in our head. So it's something like ridiculous, like we have about 65,000 thoughts a day. And we're not aware of the majority of those thoughts, because if we were, we would go crazy. So what's happening if we don't have a mindful practice, we are constantly repeating these thoughts, they're going round in our head, we're not aware they're going round in our head. And then we just feel these emotions of feeling tired, exhausted, and then we start feeling not enough. And we don't even know how to get out of these funks, because we don't even know how we got there. And sometimes we know how we got there. Something happened. And again, we, instead of having this kind of emotional empowerment and being like, okay, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling angry. And instead of like kind of recognizing that we are not our emotions, we are not our thoughts, we are not our feelings, and instead of kind of going, that's how I'm feeling, but I don't need to create a story here, we often blur the lines and we don't even realize what stories we are creating. So when you start loving yourself, you completely change your life and you change the game and you feel more empowered. But what I see happening is people start recognizing the importance of self-love. But these voices will come up and say, see, I told you you can't do it. See, I told you nobody cares. See, I told you, and you'll start just believing these thoughts in your head. And then that's when you start going, see, I can't do this self-love. I just don't know how to do that. I'm just not good at this. And it's just like, well, we get good at what we practice. So if we stop kind of telling ourselves we can't do something and actually go, this is where I'm starting. This is where I'm starting. This is how I feel. So if you were to ask yourself now, how good do I feel about me? How good do I feel about my body? How much do I like myself? How much do I believe in myself that things will work out for me? How much do I believe in life? Because here's the thing, you know, if you fight with life, you will always lose. If you always believe that life's never going to work out for you, that you're never going to be enough, that will be your reality. And I don't mean as in good things can't happen for you. But what I mean is that until you start seeing things differently, your brain is going to keep confirming everything you think, all the crappy things that you don't like. And that doesn't mean that sometimes, you know, awful things don't happen. But for me, it's like, if things happen in your life that don't feel good, you've got two ways of dealing with it. You can either create a disempowering story, or you can go, okay, this has happened. I don't like this. I don't like this situation. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about this situation? And really come back to feeling empowered. It doesn't mean you always have to like the situation. Or you can tell yourself that you just can't do it and you'll never be enough. And that's just life. And when we stop buying into that's just life, and I just have to feel not good enough and I just have to settle, everything changes. But that takes self-love work. That takes you being a friend to yourself. And the way I define self-love is the relationship with yourself. I don't really care, if you've done one of my programs, you'll know this. I don't really care that much if you can see in the mirror, I love me. I don't really care about that much. I know that comes with time if you do self-love work. The reason I don't really care about that much is because I've known people who will say, yeah, I love myself, I have self-love. They do not treat themselves like they have self-love. So for me, it's more important to see it as a relationship and how you treat yourself. Because we all know people who have said to somebody, oh, I love you, I care about you, but they didn't treat them like they loved them. They didn't treat them like they cared about them. So for me, it's much more important that you take care of the relationship with yourself. So if you are feeling rubbish, if you are doubting yourself, if you are feeling like a failure, if you are feeling like you can't do something, if something's happening in your life right now that's hard and you are feeling like you just can't do this, which is BS, by the way, but you can really believe that in the moment, and I honor that, and how you feel is always valid. But it's like, how do you treat yourself in those moments? So I'm not really that interested if somebody can look in the mirror and go, I love you. Like, because we can get to that stage. We can work on that. I want to know, how do you treat yourself when you feel angry, when you feel pissed, when you feel sad, when you feel disappointed? How do you treat yourself then? When you feel like you failed, when you feel like you haven't hit it, when you feel unloved, when you feel not enough. When it's hard, how do you treat yourself? Because it's easy to feel good about you. And I say it's easy, it's actually hard for a lot of people. But it's easy to feel good about you when things are all going well and things are all flowing. But I want to know, when you feel triggered, when you feel hurt, how are you speaking to yourself then? How are you treating yourself then? Because emotions are going to come up all the time. Emotions are for you. We weren't meant to be robotic. We weren't meant to not feel. That would be the saddest thing ever. You know, imagine somebody coming to you and they're telling you this like amazing news and you were just neutral. Or the other end of the spectrum, somebody came to you and they're like, oh my gosh, this has just happened, and they're heartbroken. And you only had access to so-called, you know, good emotions, i.e. the ones we like. And you were like, yay, that's great. They would feel so unseen and so hurt. So we don't want to be neutral. And we also don't just want to have so-called good emotions. Because emotions aren't good or bad. They're just as they are. And we create attachments to anger is bad. And, you know, we have all these kind of like emotions in society that we class as not good. Things like anger, things like disgust. But actually, these are a GPS to tell you how you feel and what's, you know, what's healthy for you. And they come up to say, no, I don't like this. I do like this. You know, and we just focus on all the emotions we like, things like joy and stuff like that. But actually, a lot of us don't experience joy and stuff because we're so busy berating the emotions we don't like and so busy numbing, whether it's social media, whether it's food, whether it's an avoidance to take care of the relationship with ourselves. A lot of us don't experience that much joy. And we also put things like joy on a pedestal. Like, this is a really, really good emotion, and sadness is bad and anger is bad. We're actually, all of those things show you what's healthy for you and what you want and tell you your preferences. And when you stop making those emotions, you know, mean that you're not enough or you can't do something, and instead see it as a messenger to be like, something needs to change, and to love yourself enough to create the changes you need, then you start tapping into more joy and stuff. But for me, I really want to help women to feel damn good about themselves. And this is something that's such a mission of mine. But nobody feels happy all the time, because you would have to be not human to feel happy all the time. Because, as I say, you know, we'd have to have no empathy. We'd have to have no care about, you know, things that happen to our loved ones and stuff. So for me, all the emotions are beautiful, even the ones we don't like. What's hurtful though is when we act and we say and we do things because we get taken down by our emotions, and we get taken down by our emotions because we create stories based on how we're feeling. And often how you're feeling is totally valid. As I say, your emotions are valid, but often how you're feeling can be BS. And I'm not talking about those gut feelings when, you know, your intuition and you know something's off. I'm talking about you may really, really feel that you are not enough, or that you are not competent, or that you are not loved, or you may really feel that, you know, I just have to settle for this because I don't want to be on my own and I'll always be on my own. And you may really feel that, and you really have that fear. But this is where your feelings can screw you, because that's doesn't mean that that's true. It's nearly always not true. As I say, things like you not being enough, it's just, it's not even a thing. And I don't mean to gaslight you, because that's just another toxic thing. I know you may really believe that. I hope you don't. I hope if you're listening to this, you know you're innately enough. But what I mean is, it's not a thing as in no baby was born not good enough. So nowhere in the timeline did that change. And so when we realize that a lot of our feelings are totally BS, but if we use our emotions to really drive us forward, so if we're feeling really angry, really getting in tune, rather than thinking, oh, I'm just angry and that's just it, realize that you are not anger, but you may be feeling the sensation of anger. Okay, what's going on? Where do I feel, I don't know, taken for granted, underappreciated, unseen? Where do I not feel enough? Basically, whatever emotion you're feeling, there is something going on under that. And when we can dig into that and we can heal into that, and maybe it's like, you know, something from the past, you know, often a lot of these things kind of come from childhood, you know, that kind of inner child wound, which I know for some people is very woo-woo, but it's such a thing, because things happen to us when we're younger and we attach beliefs to those things, and then we carry those beliefs around, and a lot of the time we can't even remember where it started. And most of us started this not feeling competent, not feeling enough, generally in childhood, generally in teenage years. And what happens is, when we start displaying certain emotions, society will tell us some aren't appropriate, and we get taught social etiquette. So what we start doing is we start suppressing a lot of our emotions. So, you know, you as a child, you may be upset. Another child may break your toy, and the parents will be, you know, tell the child to say, oh, apologize for breaking the toy, and, you know, get that child to apologize. And then, you know, the other parent might be like, okay, they've said sorry, you know, now play together now. And because the parents don't want it to be awkward, you just have to be okay with it. You just have to, and I'm not saying everyone does this, but these kind of things kind of happen a lot, where all of a sudden you have to forgive the person. And, you know, even though you're like, you might be feeling, well, I don't forgive them. I'm really annoyed. They just broke my toy. But because we don't want it to be awkward, we're just like, you know, let's just get on with it. And here's the thing. I'm not saying don't forgive people and stuff, like holding kind of like resentment and stuff, because we all make mistakes and stuff, just hurts us. Forgiveness is not about the other person. Forgiveness is about your own inner peace. But what I'm saying is, we get told that our emotions should have an expiry date. We get told when we should be over something. So we start feeling this shame. And shame is basically when you start believing you're bad, rather than just the experience you didn't like, and the experience, you know, wasn't good for you. So we start feeling this shame of like, I'm still angry about this. Why am I not over this? Why do I still care? And then we start burying our emotions, and we start thinking, if I'm angry, it's bad, because apparently I should be over this by now. And so we start telling everybody, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. But the thing is, like, you can be fine. Like, I've said that before, and I'm like, no, I actually am fine. But when I'm saying that, I mean, like, as in, I'm fine, like, I've got this, and I'm going to be okay. But sometimes people are saying I'm fine when actually they're really not that happy. But they've almost just accepted that's life and they don't want to be a burden. When we start changing that, and we start really tapping into, okay, I'm not fine, or I am fine, but I want to be more than fine. And we start pushing things down, and we really start getting in tune with our emotions, and really going, how am I feeling? How am I feeling right now? And what am I thinking about? And what am I thinking about right now? And start detaching our emotions from thought. So when we find ourselves feeling triggered, feeling not enough, we pause in that moment and go, what's going on? And we start seeing the thought, and we start really looking at it as if a friend was looking at it, and would they think this? So if the thought is, I can't do this, or I'm not good enough, okay, imagine, like, the most amazing best friend in the whole wide world, would they think that about you? So if you don't have a really amazing friend, hypothetically, if you could imagine the most amazing friends, and they, you could really truly be who you fully are, would they think that about you? And I hope you know right now that you are enough, and that we feel not enough because we look at people and we kind of go, oh, they're really beautiful. And as we do that, we instantly make something ugly. And quite often it's ourselves. And when we start recognizing we did that with our thoughts, we did that, you know, it's that whole thing where Wayne Dyer talks about, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We have to realize that often the ones that are hurting us are ourselves. And that doesn't mean that people around you haven't hurt you, aren't hurting you. But it's what really hurts us as we start buying into it. So for me, self-love is the relationship to yourself. It is really becoming aware of your emotions and really being a friend to yourself. Really asking yourself, like, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? Really honoring your emotions and not trying to push them out, not trying to say, you're not enough when you feel angry. What is wrong with you? You're not enough when you're sad. You're not enough when you're frustrated, when you're overwhelmed. And actually go, oh my gosh, you're overwhelmed. You're frustrated. What do you need? And not thinking that it doesn't matter because you've got to take care of everybody else and you've got to please everybody else, and realizing you actually do matter, and actually treating yourself like a friend. You know, as I say, if the most amazing friend you could ever imagine recognize that you were frustrated or overwhelmed or sad, they'd go, is there anything I can do? Do you need anything? So for me, self-love is when we start doing that. When you start being a friend to you, your life will change. And as you start being a friend to you, these thoughts are going to pipe up. They're going to pipe up because you are changing the pattern. And this is where most people kind of falter, and then they go, I can't do self-love, because the voices in my head get louder, that inner critic, ego, the bully. And we all have an ego. Just by being human, you have an ego. An ego is not something that walks around thinking it's better than everyone else. An ego is those insecurities. It's those I'm not enough things. It can be the other as well. But we all have that. So when you start on your self-love journey, your ego pipes up, and it will show you all the evidence, as I've talked about earlier, of why you can't do something, why you're not enough. And this is why people repeat cycles of depression, anxiety, not feeling enough, frustration, back in cycles of unhealthy relationships, whatever it is, we repeat the same cycles again and again and again. Because when we do start trying to change things and we do start trying to love ourselves, that voice pops up almost to put us back in our place. Because we have been every single day repeating the same kind of stories, not consciously. So it's like, hang on a bit. We've been playing this story and now you're trying to tell me something else? No. Like, because we don't like to be wrong. So your ego doesn't want to be wrong. So what really changes is when that voice comes up, instead of trying to argue with it, instead of trying to wrong it, because it really believes it's right, you may really believe those things. And if you try to battle with it, you lose. Because it just gets louder and louder and louder because it wants to be right. Where if you start witnessing it and without judging it, and you witness it and you witness the thought of, I can't do this, you witness the fear of thinking worst case scenario, whatever it is, and you just start witnessing it and you don't try and push it out, because when we're trying to push it out, when we're trying to not give it too much attention, what we're really saying is, I'm not good enough whilst I feel like this, and then wondering why we don't feel good. The problem isn't the emotion that comes up. The problem isn't the thought that comes up. What causes a problem for us, and it's not really a problem, but it doesn't feel good, is how we feel about that. How we feel, again, it shouldn't be there because we were told certain emotions were bad and that we needed to get over things and on a time scale. So when these things come up, instead of trying to push them out, if we instead just witness them, not trying to change them, not trying to fix them, but just start questioning them. Just start questioning, is that really true? Those disempowering beliefs start to change. And it takes time. It takes daily work because it is a relationship to yourself. Imagine being in a relationship with somebody and they were like, yeah, I can't be honest with you today. Maybe tomorrow. Imagine how you would feel. It wouldn't feel good. So we work on this daily. And if you work on this daily, your life will fucking change. But most of us aren't working on it daily because most of us are saying, I don't have time. I don't have time for this self-love crap. And I don't know how to do it because I look in the mirror and I don't feel enough. And it's just like, no. That's not what it is. It's the relationship to yourself. And you have ample time because you are with yourself all day long, every single day. So every single day, you can be witnessing, what am I thinking about right now? What's going on? And this work is like, it's hard. But you are worthy of it. And it gets easier. I don't know if it gets easier, but it gets more enjoyable, it gets more fun, because you start, when you stop buying into the BS, you really experience joy and this empowerment, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I don't think that anymore. But it still comes up. I will still have things that come up. And what happens to me is, as I've really, really tapped into just like loving myself, and I'm like, you are amazing, Kirsty, I fucking love you, I just do more ballsy things. As a, you know, if this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, my first podcast episode was me coming out. You know, I'm 34 now, and you know, at 34 and saying I'm bisexual, I wouldn't have done that once over. So what actually happens is you just start becoming more bold. So it never gets easier in the fact that it's still scary because you just do more scary, courageous things, but it's actually really empowering because you just become more of who you are and you start to care less what people think. And you start to have a lot more empathy for yourself and empathy for other people. You become a better frigging person because you start realizing that these thoughts that you have, everybody's having them and everybody's having their own struggle. And it's, you know, when you think something's about you, like, you know, you're not good enough or something, it's actually, they've got their stuff going on, but we make it mean stuff about us. You know, so if somebody doesn't want to be our friend anymore, somebody dumps us, we make it mean the story of like, I'm not good enough. as in I'm not nearly good enough, rather than just like we weren't aligned anymore. And God, universe, whatever you believe in, or you might just, you know, believe in that's just the way life is. And as I say, I'm not really down with that, but whatever works for you. When you realize actually sometimes people are no longer in your life because actually it's not serving you anymore. But what we often do is kind of go, oh, I'm not good enough. I'll be on my own forever. When we stop doing that and we really start being a friend to ourselves and realize us not being innately enough is just not even a thing. You weren't the chosen one who was born not enough. You just weren't. And when you love yourself enough to let people go who don't treat you that, like they don't, you, they make you feel not enough. And when I say they make you feel not enough, there's a part of you that believes that. Because actually when you can hold solid, people can't do that. When you can hold solid and you really start knowing who you are, you stop falling for that crap. So if you do just one thing, and that is work on the relationship with yourself, your whole fucking world will change. You will feel more empowered. You will feel more joy. You will feel happier. And as I said, nobody feels happy all the time, but you will experience happiness, as in life will start feeling good. And I don't mean that, you know, you will enjoy everything or things won't happen. But when you start believing good things are going to happen and good things will happen for you, life will just get better. And I know then people will come to me and be like, oh, but Kirsty, this happened. And it's like, okay. But which one is going to help you through that more? You loving yourself and knowing you've got this, and then believing that life gets to get better and that you have the power to get through this, and actually life gets to get better and more fun? Are you believing that that's just life and that it never gets to be good? Which one's going to empower you more to living a really good life? For me, it's like, I choose to believe that my life just going to get better and better and better. And that I can always do this. And I can do hard things. But I also believe that life just gets to be fun and pleasurable and joyous. And it took me a long time to get there. I just thought, I was one of these people who just thought, that's just life. And people can't be trusted. And when you think life can't be trusted and people can't be trusted, you will always find that is evidence. And when I started realizing, no, actually, I get to just love me and I get to have people in my life who, where it actually feels good, life truly does just get better and better and better. And you get to have really soul nourishing relationships. That was the last episode speaking with my husband. And I want that for everyone. Without self-love, you're never going to feel your best. Life's never going to feel the best it could. With self-love, oh my gosh, it so can. So don't tell me you can't do self-love, because you know what kindness is, and you can start extending that to yourself. You can start having self-compassion with yourself, self-grace, and you can start being a friend to yourself. And you start there. And if you've already got a good level of self-love, I know you can up it, and you know you can. And you know you haven't been doing everything you can to nourish yourself, to nourish your dreams, to believe in yourself, to spend time with people who actually make you feel good, to invest in yourself, like whatever it looks like for you. You know you haven't fully been doing that. And you may have been doing it, and I don't deny that. But there's always another level. Not another level because you're not good enough. As I say, we've already spoke about that. But just because we evolve, that's what we do. So what's the next version of you want? What do they really want? And do that thing. Honour that. What do you really desire? Because here's the thing. Society will tell you desire is a bad thing. And sure, there can be unhealthy desires, but not that many, if I'm honest. Desire is actually beautiful. Don't suppress your desire. Your desire is the roadmap. It's telling you what you want. It's telling you, I want more freedom. I want more joy. I want more fun, whatever it is. Start honouring that and your life will fucking change. So, thank you for listening. I'm going to be back every Monday with a new podcast episode, UK time. If you enjoyed this, do leave a review. It helps me out massively. Check out the Choose to Rise group on Facebook. It's free. And also check out kirstyd.com because all my coaching programs, all the stuff kind of goes up there. And I've got something really exciting coming out in August. But yeah, I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And I really appreciate your time and keep choosing to rise, keep loving on you. Namaste.